of TV's Top Shin Pete Dollard. Start with the Manchester Harab Smear Hyper Sheet.
Good morning. Shama assist to say a few words again. I'm not sure of how many of you are involved and follow the banking news, the financial news. But on the Yiddish financial news, there's very large news. I can't say it's exciting news, but there's definitely a news bulletin which is very noteworthy and something which all Erlich Yidden, all the Yidden have to know about. There's somebody called Jamie Galinsky. Familiar to any of you? Jamie Galinsky is a Yid from Council of Columbia. I think he lives in London, I'm not sure exactly where he is right now. He's 66 years old. His parents ran away before the Holocaust to South America, and they built themselves up a nice business. And this James Galinsky is one of the few Yiddish billionaires in the world. He has a knack of buying up faltering bank institutions and turning them around and selling them off for a profit, which sounds like a very good thing to do. It's a good way to pay school fees, is to buy banks for when they're not doing very well, turn them around and sell them on for a profit. And I've shot in Geschick the Sachat Sluche. So he's done another one of these ventures right now. And the venture which he's done is in England. He's bought up 53% ownership of Metro Bank. Metro Bank, maybe you've heard more about than Jamie Galinsky. Metro Bank is a high street bank. I think it's the first high street bank which is more than 50% of it is owned by one person. Imagine owning more than a few percent in a bank normally is like unheard of. If you'd own 10% in Barclays or in NatWest or in HSBC, you have to be a wealthy man. And if you own that type of percentages, you normally have a lot of say on the board of directors. And therefore, haluchadik lagabe hilchas ribis, when we have to clarify what is Jewish owned and what is not Jewish owned, there's a nidin in the poskim how we do that. Is it enough to have one share? Because if you buy one share in a company, in essence, you own a piece of that company. Does it have to be that you own a controlling share? Does it have to be you own enough of a share that gives you an opinion on the board? That's mechlokes haposkim, and the poskim go through exactly how much is worth, and there are poskim a hold of each one of those three shlavim. There are poskim a hold that even one share makes it a Yiddish-owned bank. It's not a day which is normally taken on. If it would be taken on, we would have a problem taking out a mortgage with any bank, because I'm assuming that every high street bank, somewhere there's going to be a Yid who's bought a share in it. The ungenimmene psak is that as long as the person who owns, the Yid who owns the shares, owns enough shares that he has some type of an opinion on the board, they have some type of an opinion of what goes on in the bank, it's considered as if it's Yiddish owned. That was a problem a few months ago with Premium Credit. The Premium Credit is one of those credit financing companies that if you want to pay your insurance, and you get a big insurance bill to pay for the whole year, you can split it up into 12 payments. And very often your insurance provider will just say, you can either pay the £5,000 for the year, or you can split it up for £500 a month, and they'll take the ribbis. But if you look at the small print, more than likely, it's not being provided, the installments is not being provided by the insurance provider, it's being provided by a third party. And that third party are coming along and taking a ride on the back of the insurance. They have an agreement together, and they're saying that we'll finance your payment to the insurance. What happens is, this third party goes and pays the insurance company the £5,000 up straight away today, and then in essence, they've lent you the £5,000 and you pay them off in installments. There's a company that does that in a very big way called Premium Credit, and Premium Credit, about, I don't remember, it was half a year ago, approximately, was a large chunk of it was bought up by a Yid, and he has a large daya in what goes on the board. If I'm not mistaken, he has a 50% opinion. and he only has 5 or 10% actual ownership. But then Kedasi came out with the Issa, and that was the Ungenim, the Issa Machloikis are posking about it. But Kedasi then came out, Machzik Kedasi also then put up a tzettel, that premium credit is considered Yiddish owned, and therefore, whoever has insurance and paying off an installment, if they look in the, if they see on the small print, or definitely before they take out a new one, that it's done by premium credit, then it's definitely a large amount of, it's a very stark tzad that there's an Issa to do it. Al-Atzad, it's Usa, it's Issa Deraisa, because it's a plain and simple Ribbis law. Over here, there's no messing around. The problem is over here that this fellow decided to make sure he's Mekayim Rav, and he went and bought 53%. I think he had 9%, and the bank was faltering, and there was talks of it going down, and there were takeover bids, and his bid was accepted. He has paid £925 million, whoever's interested to know. I think that 600 million wiping off debt, I'm not sure exactly what exactly, and another 325 of fresh cash injection, and he saved the bank in the meantime, and it's up and sailing. So Kedasi sent out an email last week to the mortgage brokers, all the Yiddish mortgage brokers were on their mailing list, and I'm also on that mailing list, and so we got an email saying that Jamie Gilinski has bought out 53%, and therefore it is a Yiddish bank. Exactly what does it mean that's Yiddish a bank? We're going to just explain for a few minutes how many different aspects of a bank are involved in people dealing with a bank, how many different aspects of interest are there. But they are trying to speak to him and trying to arrange, Imit Hashem, ahead to Iske. And Halavai de Shabim Atzliach, and therefore will save not only all the people who are Eilech Yidin, who are going to run away otherwise, but they'll also save, Imit Hashem, all the other people who don't realize the Chayim HaRibis, or the ones who don't even know there's Issa Ribis, or the ones who unfortunately don't even know they're Yidin, but they're also Yidin. And I wish to help, they should be Matzliach in Ganzen, and they should be able to sort it out. If you think into what a bank is, how one handles with a bank, have a current account. There are some current accounts that offer you Ribis, that offer you interest when you have a balance, when you have a positive balance, when you're in credit. It's not such a favorable trend, but there definitely are banks that offer interest on your current account when you're in credit. Obviously, taking account in such a case would be a problem. Receiving ribis now from your interest on your current account from Metro, if they're offering such a thing, is a problem. Definitely is a problem if you have a savings account. Because in your savings account, you set up lechatchila, putting in the money into the account in order that should be paid interest. Nowadays, savings accounts are quite popular because the Bank of England's interest rate has gone up so high, so the banks are offering on the savings accounts. Sometimes they're offering 3, 4, 5, 5.5% you can put in if you lock your money away for a year. It's very popular and it's things that people are liking to do right now. And such a thing with Metro Bank, it's a deraisa. I'm giving money to Jamie Gilinski and I'm telling him to please pay me for that 5.5% or 4% a year on my money. Which is plain and simple, ribis ketzitza. By the way, just a reminder, ribis ketzitza is 9 lavim. 9 for the Malva, 3 for the Loiva, besides whoever else got involved in the way, who Chazal gave out, told us that there's Yisir Deraisa on the way. And it's not a Gita Skila for Parnusa, because whatever savings account people think they're going to make, or Ben Shechanurich Vetaruka Berenk, that's Nechusav Mismoititim. It's the one way to make sure one loses his money. We don't always see it, because we don't always see what goes on in the world, and we don't always see that somebody who does an Avera gets a straightway punished, and somebody who does a Mitzvah gets straightway Tzchah. That's why we're here in this world, and we have an Avoida of a Minam Bituchim. But what Chazal tells us, we know it's the Emes. Another account, another thing to take into Cheshbon is, somebody goes overdrawn. Whoever goes overdrawn automatically will get hit with interest. It's going to be a problem. And then if somebody has a mortgage, I was on the way in here and somebody stopped me, oh, you speak on Torah, what are you going to speak about? So I said, I'm going to speak about Metro Bank got bought up by Eid. He says, what? Metro Bank? I've got a massive mortgage with them. What am I to do? So I said, get out today. So he tells me, but I can't get out today. I don't have the money to get out today. I'm going to pay this mortgage off. I can't get out today. So, and also, so I said, then as quick as possible, you have to transfer it to a different mortgage provider, a different bank, and get it transferred as quick as possible. Because every day that you're going to go, every day that you're going to do it, you're going to save yourself the problems which are happening. But how am I going to be able to find another bank? It was such a complicated mortgage to get. And they were the ones who were masking to give me the mortgage in the end. How am I going to do it? I said, I don't know. But it's not going to take away the metziyason of what's going on. He has that problem that lots of people have. When it comes to certain aspects of Torah and Yiddishkeit, you have to work out how to do it. But the seriousness of what it is a big problem. There's another Nekidah. Somebody told me that Metro Bank wanted to entice customers, I'm not sure how long ago it was, and they put out a promotion, so you get, I don't know exactly what promotion was, there were a lot of Yidden who went for it then, and there are many Yiddish people who have accounts with Metro Bank. I know one of the Moises in town do their banking with Metro Bank. Imagine having a Moises and all of a sudden became Yiddish owned, having to move over with all your payments, with all your payrolls, with all your staff, with all your bank. The hassle which can be involved in such a thing is mind-boggling. And that's one of the nesionos of our generation, of how quickly financial institutions change hands and how simple it goes to all of a sudden from an innocent situation to be involved in a situation where Mahadal Mishtaki is serum. Another nekida would be somebody has a credit card with them. Obviously, credit cards are meant that you should pay them interest. Now, someone was more to me, which I think they are correct, the choir would be a problem to open up a new account with Metro Bank, even if you never go overdrawn, and it's an account that will never pay you interest on. Because one of the serum in the Torah is lo yisimin ulo of neshech. One is not allowed to go into a transaction which has in it rivers. Whenever opens up an account, in terms and conditions that you sign on to are that if I go overdrawn, I'm going to pay interest. So on the account's terms and conditions are definitely a clause of interest, which is also. It could be that the simon of neshech is only on the malve and not on the loive. In such a case, the yid open up the account would be the loive, but he's still going to be matched with lifne iver, the malve, because the malve is going to be over on that issa.
So look.
Because you're going to be mashal Masayaya.
Even though he's just, never going to pay interest.
Right. Don't know. So you bring up, maybe it's Masayaya itself to give them money in order to be able to fund the whole organization which is helping everything happen. I don't know. Just bringing out, the main thing I want to create is awareness. And people have to realize that something has happened in a serious way. It's as if, to go very extreme, somebody turn around and say, by the way, for now Monday is the Issa Malufa like on Shabbos. All of a sudden, wow, we have to sort our lives out. How are we going to worry that Monday should... It's the same type of situation. You put yourself in all of a sudden a situation, something seemed very innocent, we've found out now. Not just found out, it's just happened now that it belongs to a yid, and it needs sorting. As we speak on the subject, just bring out another couple of nekidas, which aren't just nageya to Metro Bank, which are nageya to all of us. One takes out a mortgage from a bank, so if you're a person who the bank is happy with, and they know that you can fund your mortgage payments, or better said, they hope and they calculate from your earnings that they hope you can pay your mortgage payments, then very good, as long as the mortgage provider is a goy and you're a yid, there's no problem at all to take out a mortgage. Neither ever, it helps a lot of people to do business, to buy a house, to do business. Now, very often, the person taking out the mortgage, especially if it's a young man who's trying to get a house, is struggling to pass the criteria which he needs to get a mortgage. So one of the items is to take out a guarantor. Take out a personal guarantee. Somebody else is happy to back up this applicant. A father, a shver, a shvuger, a good friend. Somebody's happy to back it up. He's happy to take on the responsibilities. And he's happy to sign on the dotted line to be a guarantor in case the payments fail. In Yid Lushna Kodesh, it's a uruf. There's three types of arevim in halucha. There's a uruf, there's a uruf kavlan, and there's a uruf shloif doitz. Very quickly explain, simple terms, what they mean. A uruv means, if I come to the loiver, if I come to the person who took out the loan, and I ask him, please pay me up the £100,000 that you borrowed, and he says, I'm so sorry, I don't have it. So then the malva, the person who lent the money, has a right to go over to the guarantor and says, I'm so sorry, but Mr. Loiver didn't pay up the money, please pay me up, and he has to pay. That is a uruv, uruv stam, a simple uruv. Then you have a uruv kavlan, who the malva is allowed to choose himself who he goes to. He does not have any obligation to go to the borrower first. He can decide that the borrower is a bit of a difficult person to deal with, and I prefer to go to the guarantor, and he walks over to the guarantor and tells him there's a loan outstanding, the pay date is today, and I need the money paid, £100,000 please. And the Uruf Kaplan has no right to tell him, please go to the one who borrowed the money off you, leave me alone. If he's the Uruf Kaplan, he's responsible for the money as if he would be the guarantor himself, as if he would be the loib himself. Uruf Shloif Deutz is a step further. It means that the person who lent the money only has the right, can go only to the one who guaranteed the loan. The person who borrowed the money has no obligation at all to repay it. Only the person who guaranteed it is the one who has to pay. Three different dargas in halacha. The first darga to be a uruf for somebody else's loan, if a yid even took out a loan with a goy, or in our case, the single man took out a loan, called him Yankel, took out a loan with a bank, and he signed on a mortgage, and he's paying his interest, and he has to pay his interest. So if somebody else came along and signed on the dotted line that he's going to be a guarantor, if the bank has no right to approach the guarantor until they try and get the money out of Yankel and see that he doesn't have, it would be a plain uruf stam. There's no problem to be a uruf stam on a loan between a yid and a goy. If he is a uruf kablan, meaning the bank will have a right, they can choose, do they want to approach the person who borrowed the money, do they want to approach Yankel, or do they want to approach the person who signed on the guarantor? There's a machloikas rishonim, there's a machloikas mechabu the remu, there's a machloikas how we pass in the masim. The unginim and a psak, the unginim and a psak. In the Welt, the unginim and a psak is that uruf kablan is a problem, it's usa. I wanted to say the unginim and a psak, we have to be careful because Rapazva was paskin, used to paskin the uruf kablan of Mitte, and is ayinik in the Gerset the Union from England, so we don't want to say that it's a. The ungenim and the psakin everywhere zoi. Generally, in the Welt fitzach as uruf kablin as usa, there is a chush v'daya v'sir padvil. Tzchein l'rucha used to go. They used to rely that uruf kablin is mitzvah. And if it's uruf shloif doitz, well, people think, how can it happen such a thing? Who's going to guarantor a loan that they're going to go to the guarantor and not to the loiver? It happens the whole time. Whenever you use somebody else's credit card, if I walk over to somebody and I use somebody else's credit card and I swipe it, in essence, I borrowed £1,000 from Visa, but Visa can't come to me. They can't come to the person who borrowed the money. The only right they have is to approach the person who guaranteed it, which is the person who owns the car. Uruf Shloif Deutz is the killer alma usa, and there's no way around that. So, in a personal guarantee in a bank, I've looked through a couple of them, through the small prints. So it works as a small print, so we've gone through a few of the small prints, and most times the banks always give themselves a right to approach the person who guaranteed the loan without needing to approach the borrower. Normal banking practice, they won't do so. And they'll always go to the person who borrowed the money, and especially if there's a charge on their house because of it, and they'll try and take the house away first before they approach a guarantor. But they've left themselves the right, and the main thing is legally, what right do they have? And they left themselves the right to approach the guarantor instead of the borrower. And in such a case, if he's a Uruf Kavlan, and if he's a Uruf Kavlan, comes out that is to a starker tzad in the poskim, and derech klal fit mezuf, as is his usa to do such a thing. Another example, a very common example when this comes in, personal guaranteed loans, guaranteed mortgages don't sound so, it's not such a shchiyachdik thing, it's not such a prevalent circumstances. But there is a very similar scenario, which comes out halachic exactly the same case. If I own and have a limited company, and I take out a mortgage from the bank, then the mortgage is my responsibility, and I have to pay it back. Now, the bank will need, generally, nearly in all circumstances, if you take out a company loan, the bank is going to want a personal guarantor from the director. He has to sign a personal guarantee that that loan is going to be repaid. They're not going to rely only on the company's assets. So if there's a personal guarantee, it comes out, it's not a problem. I took out the loan of my company, and it's my personal guarantee, so it's all the same person. But very often, the company really belongs to someone else. A lot of people are operating companies on behalf of other people, because the other people don't want to get involved. The other one, people like to stay in the shadows. So the other people are investing money and putting the money down, and they're asking somebody else to open up a company on their behalf, and take up mortgages, and run the company, and do everything else, which is perfectly halachic okay, and it's perfectly legally okay. There's no problem asking somebody else to operate a company on your behalf. You can make a trust deed if you want, which I think it could be that the regulations might have changed, and it could be you have to register such a trust deed nowadays. But there is no problem to run a company on behalf of someone else, and it's something which happens the whole time. There are very many people who have go to the company's house and see that Yankel has 15 companies. It's very likely that quite a number of them have nothing to do with him. It's his name on there, it's his shareholder, he's responsible officially for everything which goes on, but they're nothing to do with him, they really belong to other people. But the problem is that every mortgage he takes out has his personal guarantee on it. Because Yankel is the one who's personally guaranteeing to the bank whatever loans his company is taking out. But since on land registry in the company's house, he is the one who belongs to him, the company, then it's his personal guarantee covering a loan the bank took out, gave to the company, which the company really belongs to, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, or Yehuda.
A limited company.
A limited company. If it's a single, if it's a limited company which only has assets, all the assets of a limited company belong to Reuven, let's say, and Reuven has asked Yankel, please run my business for me, so therefore he's running his business. Comes out, we have over here a scenario when the bank have lent to the company, which company really belongs to Reuven, and this director who's over here, the one who's got his name everywhere, he's the one who signs all the personal guarantees, is given a personal guarantee to somebody else's loan. He is an Uruv Kavlan. Because in nearly every loan agreement, even on a limited company, the bank leaves themselves a right to approach the director, the one who signs the personal guarantee, before they approach the company. They don't do such a thing. And if they do such a thing, you might even be able to take it to court and say it's not fair. But the bottom line is they have a right to do so. If they have a right to do so, we've gone into this machlokes of signing a signing a loan agreement between a yid and a goy, even if you don't pay the ribbis. So the best thing to do in such a circumstances is to make a heter iska. Very often, there's going to be many more complications when somebody else is running somebody else's business. If Reuven has asked Yankel to run his business for him, it's more likely than not there's going to be other scenarios which are going to arise, which they won't realize, which is going to entail problems of ribbis. Therefore, the safest way out is Yankel and Reuven should make a heter iska between them. Or a father and her son, the shver and the eidim, whoever is helping somebody else with a loan, should make up a heter iska between them. They don't have to understand every little detail what it says in there. They have to understand one thing. There's no loan taking place between the two yidin. Even if it ends up it's going to happen, that I'm going to pay on your behalf, there's no loan taking place. It's an investment procedure going on. I'm investing in you, or you're going to be investing in me. It's going to depend exactly what's going to happen. But whatever money will go one to the other, in a case where we're going to have to pay for it to the other one, we're investing in each other's businesses. That's always a very clever and safe thing to do, is to set yourself up and sign together between them and the iska to agree on that what they're doing is investing and not lending. Then there was a shal in the Midwas this week. I hope the Olam looks out for it every single week. What's the latest shal in Hilkas Rivers? Because that's the point of the advertising. And every week in the Midwas, nearly every week in the Midwas, there's a young man, Rav Eli Greenberg, who's in charge, who runs the Ribbis line, and he puts in a shala every week. The shala this week was another shala which is nagaya to anybody who buys property, which is nagaya to a lot of people in England. Whenever you buy a house and you exchange on it, and then there's completion. So you put down money for the exchange, normally you put down 10% for an exchange, and then you get time to complete. So let's say they agree that the 1st of February is going to be completion. Now, in the small print, on a normal contract, completion contract will be that if somebody does not complete on time, what happens? So you get a 14-day window in order to save yourself by not losing the 10% that you put down already. A 14-day window gives you time to get your act together. But it's not a free 14-day window. It's a 14-day window that from the 1st of February until the 14th, every day there'll be interest calculated at so and so much above bank rate or base rate or whatever it's going to say. That is a standard document when it comes to buying a house. It comes out that every person who buys a house is undertaking that if they don't complete on time, they're going to pay interest. We've only got short time left, so it's quite complicated, but I'll try and say it as simple as possible and we'll see what comes out. Over here, it's a very interesting scenario, whether it's called ribbis or it's not called ribbis. Not every time does it say the word interest, does it mean halucha dikta's ribbis. I'm buying a house. In essence, when I put down 10% on exchange, Nothing belongs to the person, the purchaser. Zero. He has zero balance in the house. Until land registry gets, till the TR1 form is going to be done and sent off and registered, nothing changes. No balance changing. Until completion has happened in England, there is no balance changing in the house. Even if you paid a lot of money, you didn't just pay 10%, you might have paid 50% or 80% or 90%. Normally, that is the legal proceedings, and the balance doesn't change. If balance doesn't change, halvua, we explained many times, is only when I give somebody something, I give him money, and he doesn't give me something back for it at the same time. So when I put down, let's say for example, I'm buying a house from somebody else, I put down £10,000 to buy the house, it's a £100,000 house, I put down £10,000, I've lent the seller £10,000 because I didn't receive anything for it in return. I've received from him a guarantee that he's going to give me the rest of the house. He's going to give me the house when I complete. So he's undertaken that he's not going to give it to anybody else. We've set up an agreement between us. In essence, I don't own anything more than I owned a few minutes ago before I paid that money. So I lent him £10,000. Very nice. Very nice of you to lend somebody £10,000. Now, what you agreed? You agreed that the sale house, the price of the house is going to be £100,000. Now, this interest rate, which is going to kick in when people pay late, you can look at it as two ways. The price of the house still stays £100,000. And then there was another £2,000 interest, for example, which arose from paying late. You could look at it the other way around. You could look at it, we agreed, lachatchila, how much is this house going to cost? This house is going to cost, how much? We don't know. It might cost £100,000 if I finish on the 1st of February. If I complete on the 14th of February, this house is going to cost £102,000. So if I'm paying you £102,000 for the house, there's no interest and there's no issa ribis if I go and buy a house for more money than... There's no difference how much money I pay for a house. You can look at it either as a loan, because this person had to give me the house £100,000, and therefore because I didn't give him the money which meant to give on time, at the completion date I owed him the full amount of the £100,000 and I didn't pay him, so I'm paying him more for it. Or do we look at it? No, there was no loan taking place. It's too complicated to go into the studim and the surahs. It's a whole shtickle toilon and shechunurich how it works. Bottom line is, there is a mechloikis. Haposkim, what do we do in such a circumstances? There's a chiva mechisitza, there's andra haposkim. The unginim, and again, the most lachatchiladik way not to be involved in any mechloikis is if somebody knows that he's buying a house from a yid, or he knows he's selling a house to a yid, is to, if possible, delete that paragraph. Sometimes you don't know you're buying a house from a yid. Sometimes you don't know you're selling a house to a yid. You can put a house up for sale, you have no idea who's going for it, especially if you put it into auction, you have no idea who's buying it. And it's all in there already. The idea is, if you know it's a yid, the best idea is to get rid of it. Some people don't want to get rid of it because they're very worried. If there's no financial penalty, if somebody's paying late, then who knows how long it's going to take them to complete. I'll be stuck. Which is a mistake of chashash, and people have to be careful. There is an aitzah, another aitzah, which is zikha, not a problem of ribis in this circumstances, but Beit Olam shouldn't take it to anywhere else, because it's a very detailed thing. Instead of putting in a clause that it's an interest rate which grows every day, you can put in a penalty, a one-time penalty. A one-time penalty. That means you can put inside, if they don't complete the 1st of February, then a penalty will kick in. You can make the penalty a lot of money, that will scare them off, that will try and pay on time. Or you can make any amount you want, as long as it's a one-off penalty. The problem always with the penalties is that once you pass the penalty day and the person paid for it already, then he definitely doesn't want to complete on time because he's already paid you for it, he may as well take as long as he wants, and he has no financial incentive to get on with it, unless he needs the house. But, therefore, business idea, somebody needs to be weighed up exactly how to do it. Kids, there are poskim who let you keep the clause in. Just make a sikum, a conclusion, it's getting late. There are poskim who let you keep the clause in, and there's no problem. We take on, there's no issurivis at all. There are poskim who say that it is a problem, and therefore it should either be deleted or changed to a one-off penalty. You can't make two penalties. You can't say if it's paid after 5 days, it's £500, and after 10 days, it'll be £1,000. You can't do more than one penalty. Yeah, but in the meantime, when I go into a store and I put down, I want to buy a packet of Bisley, and I go put down a pound for the packet of Bisley, but I don't pick it up today. I'll pick it up only in a week's time. So in the meantime, what have you got for your pound? Nothing. You lent the shopkeeper a pound in order to get you're busy in a week's time. Whoever puts money into a account by a store, and the store is allowed to use their money in the meantime, has lent their money. Whoever puts money into anywhere, which people deposit money into places, every time you put money into the bank, you're lending the bank money. Even if they make up, they're not going to give you the money back. They're only going to give you something in exchange for it. They'll give you a house for it. It's correct. It's mekachumenka. It's a derabunan of ribis. But it's definitely still a halbu and it's still a problem.
You're not lending the shop when you put deposit money
down. I think you should ask the local shops, do they use the money that gets deposited inside? If they say they don't use it, that means that they have always in their current accounts, it never goes below the amount of money which has been deposited in with them by people, then there's no loan taking place. If they do go below that amount, and they're allowed to go below that amount, then there is a loan taking place. It's getting very late. Okay, so the kids of the island are down. The Eichel Hilton from Tzirus, just a very, very quick vote on the parish of Yosef HaTzadik came along and told Yaakov Avini, that he sent the brothers a message, just tell Yaakov Avini, Kisamani Elekim Melech HaKol Mitzroim. Yeah, Eichel made me, Kisamani Elekim Melech HaKol Mitzroim. Eichel made me king over the whole of Mitzrayim. Imagine, a Haimish father receives a telegram from his son, who's been missing for the last 22 years. He sends him a telegram and says, Tati, you should know, good news, I just became the new Ayatollah of Iran, and I have control of the whole thing, and it's all under me, and I get covered, and I've got money, and I've got power. I think most parents would be extremely distressed and from such news. What was Yosef HaTzadik coming along and telling his father? It was Erev HaSa'aretz. It was the worst place in immorality. It was the Iran, if whatever country I'm going to think themselves we can put in there, but. What was the gross yichus? The Heilige Rishna gesucht avot. We have to put the comma somewhere else. Yosef HaTzadik was telling Pari, Tati, Somani Aleikim Melech Al Kol Mitzroim. Somani Aleikim, I put the Eibishte Melech Al Kol Uretz. He is now king over the whole of Mitzrayim. Melech Al Kol Uretz Mitzroim. Till before I came along, there was only Avodah Zarah. Before I came along, nobody knew that there's a Hashem on the world. I spent the time when I've been king over here the last 9 years spreading Yiddishkeit, spreading Ehrlichkeit, being ambassadors of light to the world. And that's our job and our work, especially in these darkened times, to be ambassadors of light to the world. Vaz in the ganze Welt, as du hab a chef on the world, and he's in charge, and we're his trustworthy ambassadors.
I'm a kind of telling you.